Welcome to episode 14 of The Break Breakdown. I'm your host, Courtney, and today on the podcast, we are going to do a quick and dirty episode. And quick and dirty episodes are just 15-minute long episodes, little bite-sized episodes while you're, you know, washing the dishes or walking to the bodega or even just something you listen to quickly before you start your own work and just to get your head in the game. And the name Quick and Dirty came from one of my actually directing and history teachers in college, professors, one of my favorite professors, and he would give us little assignments sometimes in directing class and call it Quick and Dirty Artwork. And this was essentially just to make something on the fly with a small prompt and just go for it and don't have really any, like, we shouldn't have any stakes connected to it. It was really just an investigation. So these are small little investigations. Before we get into this week's episode, quick and dirty episode, I want to just shout out my newsletter real quick for Queensbird Films. So Queensbird Films is, that's kind of what this podcast operates under. That's what the Film Screen Test operates under. It's kind of a brand, not so much a production company, but it's nebulous. We live in 2020. Who knows what anything will be in a couple weeks or years. So right now, the Queensbird Films newsletter is basically a place for me to connect with y'all in a way that is a little bit more honest and authentic than on social media. So the more that I am currently understanding the anti-freedom of speech on social media and how it's used in a myriad of ways, and I can maybe do a deeper episode on this later because it's too much to get into right now, but the more I understand how it works truly, the more I'm interested in leaving it, or at the very least altering my relationship to it. So that means I'm going to focus more on my email list, where I can speak directly and our conversations can have context and we're all operating in the same context, and it's a more kind of honest and authentic way to communicate. So if you are not subscribed to that newsletter, please sign up. It will be linked in the show notes. And you can also find it on Instagram at Queensbird Films. We're still staying on social media. It's not like we're leaving, but I'm just trying to create alternative pathways and alternative spaces. And so we're slowly trying to carve that out. So sign up for the newsletter if you're not already on there. And also leave me a message if that's also going to be linked in the show notes. So if you can leave me a message, I would love to include it in an episode down the road, or even just use it as a prompt for another quick and dirty episode. So truly anything, if you have any questions about filmmaking, creativity, motherhood, New York, whatever, ask me a question. If you have tips, if you have thoughts, if there are quotes that you are really loving right now, just anything like that. I would love for you to engage with me that way. I would love to hear your voice. That is just like every time I get a message like that, it just warms my heart. So I would love to hear from you, see how things are going for you right now. Literally just tell me anything. And then also just asking, because I don't always ask on my earlier episodes, but would love for you to rate and review this podcast to make it easier for other folks to find it. It always goes a long way, and it's just, it's nice. So if you have the time and you're able to do it and you'd like to do it, I would really appreciate that. And of course, if this episode or any other episode hits home for you, or you think a friend would enjoy it, please share with them. Even just a text to someone to say like, hey, you might like this episode, you know, reminds me of the conversation we were having or whatever, goes a long way. And again, takes us out of a manipulative context and brings it into a really direct and meaningful context. And again, I'm not going to be upset if you tag me on social media. I am still using that platform, so I'm not saying that I'm not on social, and please tag us. And if you want to share on social, that's totally fine. But I just want to make sure that you know these other options, these other avenues are options for us to connect. And I would love to do that. Today's episode is about the pancake theory. I did not know what the pancake theory was until a friend called it out and told me about it and said she wanted some input on it. And I didn't know what it was, but it makes a lot of sense. So the pancake theory is basically the idea that the first pancake you make out of the batch is doomed to fail. Your heat is either up too high or you don't flip it soon enough, or like you try to flip it too soon. And either way, like however you mess it up, it falls apart, it gets burned, and it's just basically awful. And after that, your pancakes are substantially better, but you've lost that first one. It's inedible. You throw it in the trash. So the question came up about the pancake theory and making artwork, making anything creative. And the question was about the paralyzing effect of the pancake theory and how you always throw away the first one. And, you know, if you really have an idea that you love and it's your first idea or it's your first quote-unquote major idea, you don't want to throw it away because every pancake is special. All right. So this is a really interesting conundrum because, you know, if you have an idea and you're really excited for it, of course you want it to succeed in whatever that means. You know, you want it to be a hit. You want it to be the thing that launches you or makes, gets you a connection or gets seen. You know, sometimes it's just about being seen. But to make any kind of work and to contend with this pancake theory, I think you have to hold two of these two thoughts in your mind at the same time. The first thought that you have to hold is, I will do everything I can to get this great idea out into the world. No holds bar, go for it. Do the best that you can with the resources you have. Work, commit, you know, invest yourself into that great idea and get it out there. The second thought you have to hold in your mind at the same time is, this is not my last great idea. So in order to get to the next thing, I think we have to churn out a lot of work. And I don't mean churn on like a productive scale of just like flailing, right? I mean, I do think that there's a sort of discernment. We've talked about that on the last episode, I think, about the discernment of an artist's brain and creative process. But we fall under this false assumption that this one idea that we have is the only idea we have. And if we give it away and put it out into the world, we will never again have another good idea. And if this doesn't go great, then we'll never get another chance because we'll never have an idea as good as this one. But this is not true, okay? This is a real feeling, but it's not a true thing in the world. The problem is it's really normal to think this way. So, okay, I'm going to make a leap right now and I want you to stay with me. I'm going to say some words that might make you bristle, but I want you to stay with me, okay? Here we go. There's something called white supremacist culture, all right? There's a document that's going around. You can just Google it, but it's about white supremacist corporate culture. So in groups and organizations, how white supremacist culture finds its way into those organizations and groups. And the idea with it is not that everyone's going around saying hateful, racist things necessarily, but white supremacy culture always defaults and centers whiteness in order to consciously or unconsciously uphold the systems that benefit whiteness. Okay, and a lot of that we can think through capitalism with a lot of that, but and I won't go super deep into this because it's just not the point of the episode, but I do encourage you to Google it and look at the document for yourself because it's fascinating. And it is absolutely everyone that I've talked to who's read this document is like, whoa, it just reframed everything I thought I knew, which I think underlines how ingrained these concepts are to our unconscious and how it's important to root out that unconscious thinking so that we can be free thinkers. And you know, that's what the break breakdown is all about, finding a way to make your big break or to break into the system so you can break the system down. Okay, so it's on brand. Anyway, so I wanted to share with you some of the characteristics in this culture, in the white supremacist culture, and then I promise I'm bringing it back to the pancakes. All right, so some of the characteristics are perfectionism, paternalism, defensiveness, sense of urgency, quality over quantity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Quantity over quality. You got that. Quantity over quality. Okay, so we all live in this white supremacist and capitalist system. So no matter who you are, you're going to fall trapped to this thinking. It's built in every single structure that we have. And as artists, I think we sometimes believe that we're above this thinking. Like, we live in a liminal space. We are living kind of nebulous, non-linear lives and patterns, and we think in abstract concepts and everything. But the truth is, this system is so deeply embedded in our unconscious understanding of the world that it's gonna come up for us, especially when, and here's the key, this thinking will especially come up for us when we're alone with our thoughts about our own work. Like, when we're completely alone and we're at the blank page, where wherever we're at, those unconscious habitual thoughts that are part of the system and not part of our free thinking, but part of the system's thinking, will always come up for us. So within that perfectionism trap, thinking trap, is this idea of either or. All right, now I'm coming back to the pancake theory, all right? So this idea of either or, something is either good or it's bad. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either successful or it's a failure. But the truth is, most things are not living in a binary. And the more we think about our work as living in the binary, the more we're just oversimplifying the entire journey of an artist. In the hero's journey, which I believe I've referenced a few times on here, if you're not familiar with it, go ahead and give it a Google, because it's fascinating and it's also almost obvious. It's one of those things in life that is so obvious that it's fascinating. But essentially, the hero's journey goes like this. The hero gets a call from the muse or the universe or whatever. She refuses the call. She finally decides, like, no, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go on this quest. She goes through a bunch of trials. She ends up in the belly of the whale, which is basically facing ultimate darkness. She gets through that. She gets into more battles and trials. She learns some knowledge or some wisdom. She brings it back home to her community. And then she starts again. So it's a circle. Like, if there's an image for it. And I mean, there are lots of illustrations of, like, the hero's journey by Joseph Campbell, who kind of illustrated the hero's journey. And it's a circle. And the idea is, the hero's journey is a cycle. It is not a ladder. It is not linear. It is not a progressive march towards excellence. It is literally battle after battle, so that the hero, she can repeat it over and over again, bringing as much clarity and magic and truth and wisdom to her community as she can over a lifetime. It's almost like, how many times can you go through that course? How many times can you go through that journey? How many times can you spin that wheel? So that's more of what I think the journey of an artist is, rather than working in the binary of either or. I'm either a success or I'm a failure. Either my work is good or it's bad. And the pancake theory supposes that the artist or human is working in that linear binary way. But the truth is, your work is not an either or. And here is the absolute key to the whole thing. Once you push out your first idea, you will, drumroll please, have a second idea. But you can't have a second idea until you get the first one out. You have to create space for that second idea. People do not believe that they're going to have a second idea, but you are. You're going to have a second idea and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And each time you have an idea, you're going to think it was better than the last one. And that's how it goes. So where you're at right now, whatever pancake you're on right now, yes, maybe it's the first one. Yes, maybe it won't succeed in the way that you would like it to succeed. But that, again, is binary thinking. There's something that is coming of it that is propelling you along your hero's journey. And you don't know what it is, and you won't know what it is until maybe a few cycles later. And that's really none of your business. It's almost, you just have to show up to it and keep pushing out your work to create room for the next work. Don't let yourself believe in perfectionism. That is actually a statement I'm saying to myself. Courtney, don't let yourself believe in perfectionism. It's a myth. It's literally a lie we've consumed in order to be as productive and efficient workers as we can be. And the fact is, we're not here just to be efficient little worker bees. You know, we're here to make something and fail a little bit and come back with more wisdom and try again. And the great news is, your good idea is not your last good idea. It's not. It might take a little work to find a new one. It might take a little time. It might take a few failures. But it's not the last thing you're ever going to make. And in fact, once you get the thing out, once you get your good idea out, your first pancake out, you then allow yourself room to have that next best idea. The other good news, and I'm going to wrap this up because, again, quick and dirty. The other good news is you're not alone. We're not alone in it. This is literally the work. This is literally the process. And if we can just make the thing and fail a little bit and fail a little better each time, we are in the company of all the great artists and all the great thinkers and human beings in history. So I'm going to leave you with a Joseph Campbell quote because he says it best. I hope you enjoyed this episode, this quick and dirty episode, and you'll come back around for another one. But let me leave you with this. As you're setting out to make your pancakes and your good art, Joseph Campbell says, "We have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all time have gone before us. The labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a god. Where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our own existence. And where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world." Thanks for tuning in.